I want to take just a few moments tonight and invite your attention to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And very common scripture. As a matter of fact, I preached this instruction back in June of this same year. It's ask, seek, and knock. Okay? But I didn't preach it from Luke. I preached it from Matthew. And I discovered something that I'd never seen before. Have you ever done that? Had scriptures that you've read and you thought, and it's like God turned a light on and you're like, my goodness, I never noticed this. Well, I had one of those moments here not very long ago, and I want to share that with you. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For if a son asks bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look into Your Word. And I pray You'd bless our study tonight, open our eyes and our hearts to receive Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We start out with ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And y'all remember me preaching this Sunday night in June, right? Yes, absolutely. You know, it means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And we're told if we know how to give good gifts to our children, and we do, right? You know how to take care of your child, how to clothe them, shelter them, love them, provide their needs, and sometimes even provide their wants, right? Since we do that, Matthew says, since we know how to do that, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things, or give give good things to those who ask Him? That's the way Matthew breaks it down. And when you consider that statement, you've got to ask yourself, what is the definition of good things? Well, good things. You look at the Greek, you know what good means? It means good. And it's about the only way you can describe it. It means beneficial, fine things, treasures, valuable things. But that's still a little vague. Because what you think is good, I might not think so great. What I think's good, you might not think is so great. And what is really important is what God thinks is good, right? And so God's definition may even be completely different than mine or yours. But see, Luke doesn't say that God will give you good things. Luke says in verse 13 again, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's the line that I'd never noticed before. And you may think, I've always knew that was there. Well, I missed it up to this point. And when I realized I'd missed it, it began to dawn on me. This is what God would describe and determine. This is what good. And He's not talking about the physical gifts. He's talking about the things we really need. You know, you and I, when we pray, do you pray, Lord, get me out of this mess? Do you pray, Lord, help me pay my bills? Lord, heal my body when I'm sick? But you know, God's much bigger than that. And when He promises, you know, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit, what's He promising there? Well, first of all, you know, go back to 1 Corinthians 13:13, where it says, now abide what? Faith, hope, and love. These are the things that in God's definition book or dictionary would consider good. You see, let's start with faith. How many of you need more faith? I do. You know, I don't need God to just get me out of trouble. I need the faith enough to know that God can get me out of trouble. I need the faith enough to depend on God to fix the things that I can't fix on my own. I need the faith that when God is fixing and things are not going the way I think they should go, I need the faith to trust Him that He's got it all under His control. Amen. Have you ever seen Christians who, you know, they received that bad news where their health had a health scare, and their response was, well, I know God's got this. And as they go through the process and they you know, experience the healing process and go through treatments in the hospital and all that, and you look at them and you think, boy, I don't know that I could do that. But they're sitting there saying, I know God's got this. What is it? That's faith. You see, that's what faith is about. It's trust. It's when you can't explain it away and you can't do anything about it, you can say, hey, God, I don't have to understand. I don't have to explain it. All I've got to do is learn to trust You. And you know what? I've discovered the more things that we go through, the more God is building our faith. I was listening to a song on the radio last week and I thought, wow. What a song. And the title of it was sung by the Gaithers. And it might have been out there a while, but I never heard it. And the title of the song was, Sometimes It Takes a Mountain to Get Me on My Knees. You know? It's those mountains and those things that build that faith. You know, one of the things that we need most definitely is faith. We don't need the things and a lot of times the physical things that we prayed for. We need the spiritual things. Not only faith, but hope. Now about faith, hope, and love. You see, I need to know that this life is not all there is. I need to have that assurance that Jesus is preparing a place for me eternal in the heavens. Because if this life is all I've got, it's sad. I mean, yeah, I love life. I love my family. But there's one thing I know without a doubt. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Yeah. I need the assurance as I walk through this life when I face and I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I need the assurance of knowing that there's Jesus on the other side and He's prepared a place for me. I need that confidence because quite frankly, death would be scary without that knowledge. I'd hate to face death thinking, I don't know what's going to happen next. I need that hope. So I can live in confidence and share the hope that is within me. You see, faith, hope, those are things we really need. And love. Do you know how to love? I mean, how to really love. You know what I've discovered lately? My love is somewhat slanted. Scarred, if you will. I mean, you consider the command, love your neighbor as yourself. Do we? I mean, do we really? Can I do that? Can I love someone that I barely even know? Or can I love those who love me? That one's easy. I'm all about that. Can I love those who do me good? Absolutely. But you know what Jesus said, Luke 6:32? He said, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. See, that doesn't make me any different than anybody else. We're talking about a godly love. The love in Matthew 5:44, Jesus described, He said, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And I'll be honest with you, I cannot do that. I can't. It's not within my power. If God does not give me the Holy Spirit that indwells me, and that love of God flow through me, that love your neighbor as yourself is an impossible command. You see, God knows. And when I read this, and God gives the Holy Spirit, it was like, wow, God knows what I really need. Oftentimes I feel like I waste my time, you know, and praying for the physical things God knows what I have need of. He knows. And what about prayer? What about prayer? Do you have trouble praying? Oh, I pray every day. Well, let me ask you this. Are you like me and you start praying and you're there for about 2 or 3 minutes and the first thing you know, you're thinking about what happened yesterday? Or what you've got to do tomorrow or next week. And it's like, you know, and you lay it aside and you get back and, Lord, and you start trying to concentrate again. And the first thing you know, you're out here. Well, I do that. You say, you're the preacher. You're not supposed to do that. Well, welcome to humanity. But you know what? In prayer, God gives us the help of the Holy Spirit. There are times I don't even know what to pray for. There are situations and things going on that I don't even know how to address. But we've got the promise of God's Word, Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. What are weaknesses? Are infirmities, those times when I just can't seem to keep my mind on track, and those times when I don't know what to pray for. The Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Yeah? I'm talking about, this is the really important stuff. When God says, ask, seek, and knock, He said, I'm going to give you the good stuff. What about study? Do you have trouble studying? I'm talking about the Word of God. Do you struggle with Scriptures? Time and time. I cannot tell you the number of times, more weeks than not, I'm studying and I'm looking, and I love to look up words and, you know, and see the meaning in the Greek and the Hebrew. And that's just something that's always attracted me. But more times, you know, just very often, I get frustrated because I don't understand. You do that. You read it. You say, Lord, I just don't get it. I have backed up and I have pushed away from my desk, you know, at the first thought when I don't get it, I do it again. And I look harder and then I might even turn to a commentary, and usually my thought is, no, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't get it either, you know. And I finally get to that point where I just back away and I say, Lord, I do not understand. And if you do not help me, I'm not going to understand. And let me tell you, more times than not, within a short little bit, it's like somebody opens a curtain. And God says, here it is. Here it is. You can't get it for yourself. You can do all the wordsmithing and studying you want to do and drawing definitions and read commentaries, but you're not going to get it without the help of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. I believe with all my heart. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, Bible study would be a waste of time. And you see, as I read this, and it was just, it flooded me. When I read, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. It made me realize that the really important things, the things that really matter to you, are not the things you can hold in your hand. It's not stuff. It's not the physical side. The things that really matter to the child of God is the spiritual side. What's going on the inside? See, therein is the joy. Therein is the confidence. Therein is where you find Jesus living within you. And as I said, you know, when I read that, you may have read that time and it jumped out, you know, and you may have understood that a long time ago, but that was one of those aha moments for me, that prayer goes way beyond, Lord, just heal the sick and help me pay my bills and take care of us. That prayer is too valuable a tool just to limit to the physical side. God wants to give us the really good stuff that the Holy Spirit brings. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? If not, listen, you need to be saved. I can stand before you and I tell you on the authority of the Word of God, this life is not all there is. You will one day die. And you will one day face Jesus Christ in judgment. Are you saved? If not, we want to give you an opportunity to be saved. Miss Heidi showed you salvation on her salvation or evangelism cue. She showed you. There's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and there's another spiritual need in your life. The Lord's calling you to a ministry. The Lord is working in your life. Whatever your spiritual need is, look to Jesus. He is indeed the answer. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and giving us the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need those spiritual gifts, the gifts of faith, hope, love, the gifts of guidance to all truth. The gift, Lord, of praying when we don't know how or what to pray. And Lord, there's so many other ways that Your Spirit works on Your behalf within us. So Lord, I pray for more of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You will move within us tonight. Show us the really important things. Give us those things, Lord, that we really need as Your children. In Jesus' name I pray.